na chai tana prabhon sana jaya chaita godana shiva sadhiva bhakta
The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on July 26, 1981 in Bangalore, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, Text 17.
Bhoyang pramattasya vane sapi syat यता सास्ते सह शत सपत्ना जितेन्द्रियस्यात्मरतेर्बुधस्य गृहाश्रमा किं नु करोत्यवद्यम् Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. This is about Maharaj Priyavrata. Even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self controlled must always fear material bondage because he is living with six co-wives, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Even householder life, however, cannot harm a self-satisfied learned man who has conquered his senses. Translation with repetition. Even if he goes
from forest to forest,
one who is not self-controlled,
must always fear
material bondage,
because he is living
with six co-wives, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Even householder life. However, cannot harm.
A self-satisfied learned man.
Who has conquered.
His senses.
A purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, Srila Narottama Das Thakur has sung Grihe ba bonete thake ha goranga bole dake. Whether one is situated in the forest or at home, if he is engaged in the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya, he is a liberated person. Here this is also repeated in this sloka. For one who has not controlled his senses, going to the forest to become a so-called yogi is meaningless because his uncontrolled mind and senses are going with him. He cannot achieve anything. Even by giving up household life and staying in the forest, our first concern therefore should be to control the senses. And since the senses cannot be controlled unless engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, our most important duty is to engage the senses in devotional service. Rishikena Rishikesa Sevanam Bhakti Uchate. Bhakti means engagement of the purified senses in the service of the Lord. Herein Lord Brahma is speaking, indicating that instead of going to the forest with uncontrolled senses, it is better and more secure to engage the senses in the service of the Lord. Even household family life can do no harm to a self-controlled person acting in this way. It cannot force him into material bondage. Srila Rupa Goswami has further enunciated this position. Quotation. Iha yasya hare dasye karmana manasa gira nikila svapyavastasu jivan mukta sa uchyate. Quote, regardless of one's circumstances, if one fully engages his activities, mind and words in the devotional service of the Lord, he should be understood to be a liberated person. Unquote. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakura was a responsible government officer and a householder. Yet his service to the cause of expanding the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is unique. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, Durdhantendri akalasarpa patali protkata dangstrayate. The sense organs are certainly our greatest enemies, and they are therefore compared to venomous serpents. However, if a venomous serpent is bereft of its poison fangs, its poison teeth, it is no longer fearful. Similarly, if the senses are engaged in the service of the Lord, there is no need to fear their activities. The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement move within this material world, but because their senses are fully engaged in the service of the Lord, they are always aloof from the material world. They are always living in a transcendental position. Thus end the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So, Lord Brahma was convincing Maharaj Priyavrata, who was the son of Manu, that it was not necessary for him to become a yogi and stay in the forest. That whether one is a yogi in the forest or whether one is in the household, the same control of the senses is required in order to become perfect in realization of Krishna, of God. In fact, when one goes anywhere, whether in a forest, in a solitary place, there also, one will find that the six senses, including the mind, tasting, smelling, seeing, hearing, feeling, they are always pulling. Just like if a man came home from work, there in his house, he is greeted by six wives. Each wife is pulling in a different direction. Come with me and enjoy. Let me serve you. Each sense is saying, taste me, feel me, see me, smell me, think of me, drawing us to some sense object. So if one has not learned to control the senses, then the mind and the intelligence will be taken, dragging the soul away from the absolute truth into material entanglements. So no matter where one is, one has to have the control of the senses. But controlling the human senses is very difficult, because human beings, all of these senses are active. Take for instance the animals. Their senses, usually one sense is most prominent. For instance, the moths, they are attracted by the fire and they fly into the fire because of the sight, the sense of seeing. They go into the fire and they are killed. Then there is a hunter. Hunter is playing a sweet tune on the flute. And the deer comes to hear the song. Being attracted by the song, by the hearing, honeybee goes from flower to flower taking honey. So when the honeybee goes into the lotus, and when the sun goes down, the lotus closes. And And when that lotus closes and the honeybees inside, he suffocated. By the smell, he was simply smelling the honey. He went inside and sometimes he's captured. And that is the end of his life. Then we also find that the fish in the ocean, in the rivers, in the lakes, there is plenty of food for fish. Why is it when the fisherman is hanging the hook with one worm or other bait, that fish, he sees it and he's so lusty that when he sees, he cannot resist. He has to eat it. Even there's other food around he can find, but his tongue is so powerful that when he sees that tasty worm, for the fish it's a tasty thing, he jumps and grabs it, and he's caught and he's fried by the fishermen, or sold in the market to be fried only. Simply being attached, and that's four senses. Then the fifth sense, feeling, of all the sensations of touch, the sensation of sex life is the strongest. The elephant is very powerful, very hard to capture, but they train the female elephant, and the female elephant stands and the male elephant is attracted, so he goes after her and she leads him into a big trap. I have been in Assam. There I have seen in the jungles, they're having a very big cages made, and they have the trained female elephant leading the male elephant into that cage, and they lock the door, he's caught. Being attracted by that sense of touch, by that sexual impulse. So whether moth by the sight, fish by the taste, deer by the hearing, bee by the smell, an elephant by the touch, you see, each animal has got a weak point. But the human being, all these senses are fully activated. Every sense is demanding maximum attention. When we are preaching, we tell people that if you eat vegetarian food offered to Krishna, you will find that by taking prasadam, your heart will become very peaceful. You'll be very happy. But the tongue is so strong. No, I must have my onion, must have my garlic, must have my fish and my meat. There's no need for health. You can see everyone is so healthy. Although they're not taking, even they're born in a country where only these things are given. In fact, one of these boys told me that when he was a child, his parents told him, you must eat your meat. You must eat it. He said, I don't want to eat it. No, you must eat, I'll beat you. And he'd spend 2 hours playing around, he didn't want to eat it. First, you have to eat. This is a Western influence. They tell everyone you have to eat meat, otherwise you'll die. This is all false propaganda. Now, recently the Health Department, Directorate of Medical Research in America and Britain, has found that by excessive eating of meat, cancer, epilepsy, and many other diseases, including gastritis, are formed. Especially in hot climate, if anyone eats meat, guaranteed they'll get all type of gastric difficulties and ulcers also possible. So there's no need. But we've been brainwashed that we have to have these things. And our tongue is so strong that whatever the tongue is demanding, we must take. Like this, every sense is demanding. So whether one thinks, I'll leave all this jamala, all this difficulty, family life, I'll just go in the forest, I can't take these income tax inspectors, the crying babies, or the mother-in-law, or whatever it may be, you see. That won't be the solution. Even you go in the forest, the senses will still grab you. There's no need to change where one is. One has to change the consciousness. India, now in 1981, got independence in 46, 47. So how many years gone by? 34. I take your word for it. So, in 34 years, when the first independence was given, at that time throughout India there was post office. Yes? No post office. Yes? In British rule there was no post office. There was, yes. Many places. Even in village, he says. So my point is this. When the independence was declared, then those same post offices were used, or did you tear them down and build new post office? Same ones. Same ones. Only the rubber stamp was changed. That was previously the British Raj. Now it becomes Ashok Stambha. Bharat Raj. But the same building, everything same. Same clerk. Same peon. Only rubber stamp change. That is what is needed to control the senses. Now, you see, the human being has got the greatest intellect. But his intellect is simply going down, down. Just like the vulture. Vulture has got greatest ability to fly high in the air. Each bird has got a certain capacity to fly up in the air. But we see that the vulture, they fly very high. But when they're flying very high, where are they looking only? They're looking down for what? For the dead bodies. Although they're flying high, they're only looking for the dead bodies. That is where their consciousness is. So in a present human society, they may be flying very high, but the consciousness is simply going down on this body which is going to die at any minute. What is this body but a dead matter? The objects of the senses are all dead matter, inert. The senses are serving the inert matters. The mind is being used to engage the senses. And the intelligence is also being employed to engage the mind. And the Atma, that is simply going on after. So everything is simply serving the dead matter. Static matter. And God is forgotten. No God. God is dead. Or if there's God, He's also... God, please give us some more dead matter to serve. He's also only being asked, Oh Ishvara, Oh Krishna, give us some more dead matter. Everything going down. But in a Vedic way, you see, Tamasa Ma Jyotir Gama, go out from the dark place. Go into the light. Go out from the ignorance. Go into knowledge. This Atma, Atma is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Jiva Sarupoi, Krishna Nitya Das. The intelligence is employed by the Atma to control the mind in the service of the soul. Mind is controlling the senses, following the dictation of intelligence. Senses are controlling the dull matter in the service of the, according to direction of the mind. In this way, everything is being directed up. One way is going up, all going directed to Krishna. otherwise going down. So depending which rubber stamp we're using, there's only these two rubber stamps. Either we're serving the dead matter senses, we're abuddhaya jeev, simply being dictated by the stringent laws of karma. Bhumi and apo nalo bayu, kangamono budhaye bacha, ahankara mithiyang me bina prakriti astadha. These are the eight material elements. Five gross, three subtle. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. The Mahabhuta, five gross elements. Mind, intelligence and false ego. Mon, buddhi, ahankaram. These are the sukha, indriya, subtle senses. These are the two material bodies. When the five gross senses, five gross element body is destroyed, then the atma is taken with the mind, intelligence and ahankara into the next body. That is known as Purna Janma. When one is liberated from both gross and subtle bodies, that is known as moksha. Apareyam itas thwanyang prakriti vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho daye jandharja te jagat. We are apareyam itas thwan. We are apara prakriti. We are another nature. We are jiva bhuta mahabaho. We are the jivatma, sanatana. Mamai vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Eternal. Najayati miyate bakha dachin. We're never born, we never die. We can't be cut, we can't be dried, we can't be wet. We are the eternal jivatma. But we are lost in this ocean of material energy, we forget. And we are identifying, I am this body. Although we are so intelligent as human beings, we are bewildered. And we think, I am the body, and we are being, instead of the servant of Krishna, or Krishna Dasa, we are Godasa. We are servant of our senses only. Running after our senses. Jive lalosa je iri uri dhai, sishnu daya parayana Krishna nahi pai. One who runs after his senses, just like the dog is running here and there, he can never achieve perfection in life. Can never achieve liberation or realization of Krishna. So there's no essential need of leaving family, going to forest. The real need is whether in family or whether in temple or whether one is single or whether one is married, to transform one consciousness to divine consciousness, Krishna consciousness. Serving Krishna instead of serving the dead matter. So here it mentions Dantendriya Kala Sarpa Patali Prakata Dangstayate. That the senses are like snakes. The black snake can leap out at any time. That means that the senses, they can any time go out of our control. That's why to purify the senses is essential. If we engage the senses, there's two processes. Shankaracharya path means, the Jnana path means stop all action and simply read Vedanta and speculate, and this way don't create any more karmas. Stop work. Who can do that? Anyway, that is one path that was used in a bygone age. But the path which was chosen by Hanuman, by Arjuna, by so many great bhaktas like Kula Shekhar, like Ambarish, was the path of action. Engaging all the senses in the devotional activities. If we engage the sense, not stop eating, no, eat, feast, but first offer the food according to the Vedic system, rites, and offer to the Lord as a naivedyam, and take the jagyashishta, take the prasads. Then by eating that food, your senses are not stopping working, but they're actually not creating any karmas. They're rather being freed from karma. You want to see something beautiful, so make nice decoration, nice painting, nice movie about Krishna, and feast your eyes. You want to feel something, touch the feet of the devotees, use the sense of touch. You can wash the pots or garland, make the garland, or in some way you can engage in practical service. Then smell, you want to smell the beautiful flower offered to Krishna and the incense. Bangalore is famous for incense. Incense is perfect when it is offered to Krishna. Then we take that prasad incense, and that enters into our nostrils, into our nose, and purifies our consciousness. Also for sense of touch, we use japa mala. By feeling the japa mala, we're using our sense of touch, and we're chanting, hearing the kirtan, hearing the chanting. In this way, hearing, tasting, smelling, seeing, touching, all these senses are engaged. Even you can use your sense, produce many children, but make all of the children Krishna conscious. Make them all devotees of Krishna. Then even all these senses shall be purified. Even the sexual organs are being purified, if the byproduct is engaged in Krishna's service. So Arjuna, he was offered, you go in the forest, sit on the deer skin, you simply meditate on your nose, and you just concentrate your mind in this type of meditation, using pranayama. Arjuna said it's easier to control hurricane or cyclone, but not the mind, by this process. And Arjuna, he was not an ordinary person. He was the Sakha of Krishna, friend of Krishna. He was a great prince, a king of the Pandava dynasty, Kuru dynasty, emperor of the world. He said it was not possible for him. How was it possible for us? Who can simply give up everything and go in the forest and think that all these senses will be engaged? So this is a practical way. Engage your senses. No need to make them suffer in any way. Engage them, but in a purified way. By doing that, although the senses are like serpents, it takes the fang out, takes the poison out. If the serpent has no more poison, then what is the fear? So Srila Prabhupada has simply used this simple process of bhakti yoga, rishikena rishikesha sevanang bhakti uchate. Engage the senses in the service of the master of senses. All over the world. And this is the proof that sarvapadi vinirmuktan. Doesn't matter what one's upadi. One may be young, old, man, woman, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra, less than Sudra. By practicing, if anyone practices this system properly, under the direction of bona fide spiritual master, must be his senses will be purified, his karmas will be destroyed, and he will be uplifted to the highest platform. Because this process is transcendental. In Vaikuntha, what is Lakshmi? What is the Narad Muni, Kumaras, and all the great bhaktas doing? All the great alwars. They are only dedicating all their senses to the Lord. Even if we, most insignificant people, practice in this type of engagement, purifying our senses, gradually as all our senses are engaged in chanting, hearing, serving, tasting and smelling, everything about Krishna, then we'll find our consciousness is out of this world. Our consciousness becomes Vaikunthamoy, Anandamoy, Vyasat, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, Nasochati Nakangshati, Sangasarveshu Bhuteshu, Madhbhaktin Labbate Param. This is how to achieve the Param, the supreme destination, free from all anxiety, all misery. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Prasanatma. Atma means soul, mind and senses. Prasanna means satisfied. Fully satisfied. When one consciousness is put in a transcendental realization, then Atma, meaning soul, mind and senses, are all satisfied. So what is difficult about this process? It simply means one has to change that rubber stamp. We are now rubber stamp everything sense gratification. What is pleasing to our senses we do. If someone doesn't like what they hear, they go away. I don't like it. They don't try to understand what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is bad. Whatever they like, they do. What they don't like, they don't do. On basis of what? What's pleasing to their senses. How long will we go on being slave to our senses? We are serving our senses day and night like a very good slave. But our senses are never satisfied. They're always demanding more, 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 give me more. Ahang mimami, may, give to me. They're demanding always more. So how long we want to remain a slave to our senses? So when we changed our vision, no, let me be the servant, loving servant of Krishna. Let me engage the senses as I want in the activities which will uplift my consciousness. Then this is a revolution. Janaga, janagaga viplavo. Yasmin pratistokam abhadyabhatyapi. It creates a revolution in the sinful lives of the people. Because automatically, the most materialistic, even the most sinful person, if he simply understands little bit what to speak of the pious and religious people, immediately their whole life change. In one, just like in overnight, Biliti Raj, Bharat Raj. Maya jivan, mukto jivan. Iha yasya hiya dase, karmana manasagira, nikalasva pivastasu, jivan mukta sauchite. Life becomes liberated when we engage our mind, words, and senses in service of Hari. So this is, in a nutshell, the basic purpose of this Krishna conscious movement. We want that every family, every person, they should chant Hare Krishna. They should purify their senses and taste the real happiness of life. Don't sell out for less. This material happiness is insignificant. Nothing. Just a flash second. We're sitting for half hour, our legs are hurting, our mind is impatient. Then we're thinking if we get a little fan, nice air, then we're happy. Get a little cool drink, we're happy. That means that our happiness is based on suffering only. Our lust builds up, sometimes we become very lusty, we get a little release. We think, now I'm very happy. But we've been suffering so long, a little relief we get, a little, you can say, vacation from suffering. And we think that is happiness. But that is no real positive happiness. Once one tastes the nectar of this chanting of the spiritual Paramananda, then he never gets fooled again that this material happiness is a worthwhile endeavor. But people are very clever. We try to trick them by any means to just taste this Paramananda. But they avoid it very cleverly by arguments, by so-called religious sentiment. They make so many excuses. I have no time. I can't do. I'm already doing pujas. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Somehow or another, they'll give some excuse and avoid simply chanting and taking some prasad and merging themselves in Paramananda. But we find the young people who have not yet learned this art of duplicity, hypocrisy, and all type of, you see, cunningness. They go on chanting and jumping up and down, and immediately they feel transcendental bliss. So this is the proof that anyone can achieve this. But if we are very deceitful for avoiding it, then we may cheat ourselves only and miss out on the real happiness of life. So therefore we request everyone, be careful, beware of the mind which is very treacherous, trying to give so many false doubts for us not to chant. Simply dive in and chant, practice some extent, you will see for yourself. You are all pious religious people born in a punya bhumi. When the people from all over the world are able to practice this and get the real taste in a short time, that means it will take you very little time to reach a perfectional platform. A little effort will go the longest way. So thank you very much for listening so patiently. Everyone, I also thank you for chanting so nicely. When we chanted, we lost all the consciousness, you see, aware who is from what place, what duty, this, that. We are all simply that time united in a oneness of spiritual harmony, because our Atma was in unity, in harmony with the Supreme Atma. In this way, the whole world can also be unified, and all the hatred, enmity that is there will go away. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Tonight there will also be some plays, and then of course feast, and I think even a cinema in the end. Is there time for questions now? Is there any question? The senses are controlled by the material energy, kriya, prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmana sarvasa ahankara vivudatma kvartahamiti manyate. Then one is actually being dragged by impulses of material nature only. That means maya. So when one is free from the impulses of the material nature, that is mukta. So how to get free? There are two basic paths. The one path is not recommended for Kali Yuga, but that was there in the past, that people would simply go in a secluded place and meditate. And in this way they would control their senses by pranayama and by dhyana. The other system is to control the senses by active engagement in activities which are not material. Just as in Gita it says, when one is offering the jagya itself is transcendental, the jagyapati is transcendental, the offering is being offered is transcendental, everything becomes on the Param Satya platform. So when one is offering one's senses, one body, one mind, one's words as an offering to the Lord, just like I'm speaking, you are hearing. You're offering your senses and your mind. I'm offering. I'm not speaking only for your benefit. I'm speaking for my benefit. By my speaking, my senses are being engaged in Krishna's service. Only by being engaged in Krishna's service can I remain in the transcendental platform. And by my speaking only about Krishna, only according to authorized Guru Parampara Siddhanta or conclusion of the scripture, whoever is listening, their consciousness is also uplifted to the what extent they can understand. or they are fully listening with concentration. So in this way, when our senses are fully engaged in activities which have nothing to do with material activities, that's mukta. So anything to do with Krishna, with Vishnu, is transcendental. So therefore, by engaging our senses in Vishnu-related activities, jivan mukta se uchite, then our life becomes liberated, because those actions produce no reaction. Whatever action we do in material life, that produces a karma reaction, which is binding us. If I give in charity to an ordinary person, I get in the next life same amount back. If I give to a brahmana who is half educated, I get double. If I get to a qualified brahmana who knows how to do, who just ordinary brahmana with no special qualification, I get 10 times back. Then if he's a qualified in performing sacrifices, then I get 100 times back. If he's a Vedagya, that means he knows Vedanta Gya, he knows the conclusion of the Vedanta, then I get, you see, crores of times back. And if he's a pure devotee who is a completely transcendental situation, I get unlimited. So as I'm giving charity, that means I have to take even another birth to reap the result of the charity. That's why in Gita, Krishna says, whatever you give in charity, whatever you do in tapasya, whatever you do as an offering, everything you should do only on my behalf. Because whatever we do on Krishna's behalf, he accepts the karmas. But what we do on our behalf, good or bad, we have to accept the karma. So even a good karma means we have to take birth. Birth means again death. Whoever is born must die. Whoever dies must again be born. This is the law of material world. We are born to die, we die to be born. And birth means old age, disease, and other types of problems. So maya means when we are acting in illusion that I am this body, I am this mind, I am a product of material energy. And mukta means I am a nitya jeev, I am a Bhagavan Angsa, I am the part of the Lord, I have nothing to do with this material energy, and we act in that knowledge. Then we are liberated, we are mukta. So maya means illusion, to act as we are not. We are not this body. We have to leave this body in no time. But we are working day and night as if we are the body. That's maya. And when we act, I am the possessor of the body. This body is a vehicle. I am the nitya jeev. I am the pure soul, pure spirit soul. Then, that's liberated. Is that clear? Satisfied? You had a question?
Yeah. It is not needed, one, to leave the city or the house to settle in the forest. One should not go to ashrams, it means. For realization, one doesn't need anything like going for seclusion. If that is the case, why the in olden days they have got an idea of settling themselves in the forest for concentration?
I said there are two paths. There are two paths. That even if one goes in the forest, unless his senses are properly trained, even there he can fall down. But this process is such, so powerful, that this other process I mentioned, one cannot practice. The process of Astanga Yoga in the family, in the house, while the refrigerator is chugging and the Airbus is going overhead and the lorry is going outside beeping the horn and the rickshaw wala is fighting for 2 paisa more and he's trying to meditate in his front porch. Never can he get samadhi by that form of meditation. He has to go off in a quiet place. Where you'll find a quiet place today? Even over the Himalayas, Aeroflot is going. You see. So, we are chanting. Outside the lorry could be going, Airbus can be going, but when 150 people were all singing Hare Krishna mantram, that mantram is a Chinmaya Sabda, Sabda Brahman. That vibration itself is shielding everyone into the transcendental atmosphere. Then automatically, as we are concentrating on that vibration, that Sabda Brahman, then we are actually in the Brahman consciousness. And the more we can focus ourselves in the chanting, the more the dust is taken off of the Chaitanya, the consciousness, and the pure vision comes. So in the past, in Satyayuga, there was Dhyana. Krite Dayatum Vishnu. In Satyayuga, the Dharma was, Yuga Dharma was Dhyana. Because Satyayuga means peaceful. Tretayam Yajita Makhai. In Treta Yuga, there was the Home Jagya, Agnihotras. Darpayang Purichajayam. In Darpa Yug, the process was temple worship, Purichajya. That means Archanam. Kalu Tadhari Kirtanat. In this Kali Yuga, the system is Hari Kirtana. In each Yuga, there is one Yuga Dharma. When that Mayasura I was telling only earlier today, he grabbed on the feet of Arjuna and he was about to be just killed by Sudarshan. But Krishna forgave him because he took shelter of the Mahabhagavat, the devotee of the Lord. So at that time, Mayasura, he offered to Arjuna, let me give you Jantra Gyan. I'll give you the science of machines, how to make all kinds of machines. Krishna says, don't give it, we don't want it. You will ruin everything. That's for Kali Yuga. Instead, he told you can make that one, he made that sabha at Hastinapur. What was the name of that? Maya Sabha? No, it had some other name. Huh? Maya Sabha. Acha. So, today we have this yantra again. So not only we have the yantras, but we have all so many breakdown, noise, trouble, pollution. That was kept out of the, even Dwarpa Yuga they didn't need, only they were going by so much siddhi, psychic, mystic powers. They didn't need all these yantras. Now we have Yantra Yuga, so this is Kali Yuga, age of iron. So in this age, process is Hari Kirtana. Of the ninefold bhakti, Sravana Kirtanam, the first two mentioned. So we are not saying other process is not bona fide. Bilkul teek, definitely bona fide. But for Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, not for Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga is too difficult. But Kali Yuga, if you chant Hare Krishna, in a short time you will find perfection. Just as you would find in Satya Yuga by Dhyanam, you get in Kali Yuga by Nama Sankirtanam. Just like if you go in a drugstore and you say that, my dear druggist, give me one good medicine. A druggist will say, what type of medicine you want? I want a good medicine. You say, well, what's wrong with you? Never mind what's wrong with me, you give me a good medicine. He'll say, you're a nut. All my medicine is good. One is for the head, one is for the foot, one is for the skin, one is for the belly. What's wrong with you, my friend? You don't bother with what's wrong with me, you give me a good medicine, that's enough. Turkish. You'll say, get out. I can't give you anything like that. Because all my medicine is good. So in a dharma, all the dharma is good. But what is our disease? That is what's happening today. Different dharmas are saying other dharma is bad. That's not correct. How can dharma be bad? Dharma must by definition be good. The only thing is, what dharma in this day and age, in this circumstance, will be the most effective for us. So we are not saying any dharma is bad. We are not saying dhyana is bad. We are not saying worship of this or that one is bad. Each has got its own value. But in this particular day and age, we have got, just like now, we have got such a strong disease. We need a special booster shot. So even Valmiki, he was a Dasasura. Dasamane Dasaratnakar. He was given Ram Ram. Mara Mara Mara, he was chanting, which came out Ram 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 by Narad. And by chanting Ram Ram, although he was such a violent man, he was purified. So this is not a new process. Migrari the hunter, he was like half killing animal, he was given only the name. This name is the most powerful purifier. From yugas there, not only in this yuga, but in other yugas, other processes were also effective. So people were inclined to do that. But in the Kali Yuga, the other processes, they won't even give you the result. No guarantee of any effect. So how can you tell if a medicine works? If there's an epidemic, and you give the medicine in an epidemic, if the people get cured, then you say that the medicine is good? So where is the worst materialistic epidemic than in the Western world? The full epidemic. Everyone is diseased by materialism. Now how many souls are being delivered? That proves the medicine works? Everyone who's taking the Harinam medicine, they're getting cured. That's why this is known in the Vedas as Mahaushudhi, the great Oshud, for the Kali Yuga disease. Is that all right?
See, in that it is written that Rama was worshipping Shiva. So if it was the case, you mean to say that was not powerful?
Ram has every right to worship Shiva. Just like Krishna, he is driving the chariot for Arjuna. Therefore, he is known as Partha Sarathi. Because Shiva is Vaishnavanam Jatasambhu. He is the greatest devotee of Ram. He is chanting Ram's name always. On his Rudraksha, he is always chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because he is the expansion of the Mahashankarshan, who is only the expansion of Ram. So, Ram has every reason to worship his devotee because Lord is always known as Bhakata Vatsala. He always likes to put his devotee in a superior place. Krishna is only taking the inferior position with Yasoda. But how about all the times, even in that particular Leela, Shiva came out and said, there is no need for you to worship me. You yourself are Lord. And even Shiva himself, just like he did tapasya, to be admitted as a gopi in Krishna's Rasleela. And he was made as a gatekeeper, Gopeshara, for Krishna's Rasa Leela. And like that, there are so many pastimes in the Puranas. So actually, Lord Brahma in his Brahma Samhita said there's no difference between Vishnu and Shiva. That Vishnu is like milk, and Lord Shiva is like yogurt, like dadi. So from milk only dadi is made. And dadi and milk are all milk. There's no other substance. There's no other second material there. Only that yogurt cannot be rechanged back to milk. There's a slight difference in the quality, but, or you can say in the taste or the flavor, but the substance is more or less the same. Same thing, milk product.
What is the duration of
432,000 years. We are 5,000 years going now. Another 427,000 years to go. Then Satyayuga? Huh? Listen, after 10,000 years from now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement will already have reached a peak and will start to decline again by the powers of Maya. So you should not think about 400,000 years. You should finish up within this next 10,000 years. All your rebirth and go back to Krishna. Because after that, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's delivering very quickly. With Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are five associates. Nityananda, Advaita. Advaita is Mahavishnu and Sadashiv combined in one. So even Shiva is there in the Leela with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.